Hello everyone, welcome to 2022, a brand new year that is about to be unfolding in front of our eyes. And this is Ram from Tat Capital, bringing yet another wonderful podcast for all of you through our Tat Inspire series. Tat Inspire, as you all know, it's all about inspiring each of you to do your business in a much better way than what it was done in the past. Today, we have a wonderful guest who will be joining us on this podcast to share his insights on how the working capital sector is about to be influenced by various economic events and various bigger events that we have witnessed over the last 2 years. And how is that going to affect the mid-market growing economies across Australia and New Zealand? We are very honored to welcome Mr. Tim Brown, the country director of Swoop Group out of UK. Swoop is a UK-based fintech company which has built wonderful tools and ready to disrupt the working capital financing sector in Australia and New Zealand. Tim, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much, Ram, and appreciate the opportunity to talk about this part of the market.
Excellent. Thank you, Tim. And for the listeners, a bit of a background about Tim. Tim has been in the working capital and loan based and mortgage broking industry for over 4 decades now. He has worked across various wonderful organizations within the Australian landscape, be it one of the largest banks. I think, Tim, if I'm not wrong, you started off in early days at Suncorp, then also worked at Macquarie Bank, and more recently you were a CEO for a large mortgage broking aggregating house called Wow Financial, correct? Is that correct, Tim?
Yes, that's correct, right? Yep.
Yeah. So, Tim, I think by the sound of it, you've been in the industry primarily within the mortgage broking industry for a very long time, and compared to what you were doing in the mortgage broking space to what you're currently doing at Swoop, which is more of a working capital financing business as opposed to up your home loan market, which is where you traditionally belong to. And why have you made that shift, Tim? What has prompted you to move from that end of the industry to this end of the industry?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, you can see a shift in markets, and the residential mortgage market's pretty well serviced. It has quite a number of products and lenders in that space, both from a large bank to some of the fintechs that are now starting up and some of the digital banks that have started to enter the market. But, you know, an area that I saw that was still poorly serviced is in that small business area, where I could see through technology there are now a number of new lenders that have started entering the market. Here in Australia, obviously, the ones that most people are familiar with are Judo, which is the latest digital bank. There's other digital banks that are now applying for commercial licenses to start servicing small business. And then, of course, there's been a number of cash flow lenders that have sort of entered the market in the invoice and merchant finance and even into the leasing part of businesses, which has started to bring a number of new competitors to the market. But for a small business, it's very hard for them to research and find these businesses, because in some cases they don't know them by name or by reputation. So what Swoop does, and what excited me about Swoop when I first came across it and being introduced to it, was that it's sort of the one place, one shop where a small business can go to and find out what other options there are open to them than existing funding options that they might already have. And it can also compare what their existing offer is and make sure that they've got a market competitive offer, not dissimilar to a number of the residential offerings that are out in the marketplace today.
So, Tim, to that effect, is Swoop very similar to what a finder.com is, or does that do more than just finding an attractive loan product and then let the entrepreneur make a decision? Or will Swoop also handhold post finding a right deal and executing the deal and potentially securing the funding line for an entrepreneur?
So Finder is a really good example. So Finder is basically a product disseminator. So it basically puts a number of products and interest rates. But when you do a search on a Finder, it's a very basic search. You know, it's, you know, how much do you want to borrow? It really doesn't go into a lot of detail into your capability to afford the loan or whether that's the right product for you. I think the difference is with Swoop and its capability in the engine is that it has the ability to load down your financials and basically compare those to lenders' products and do data matching to make sure that the products that we offer you are only the products that one that we believe you'll qualify for, so we don't waste a lot of time, and two, that you get the right product that's for your business at that point of your growth. So I think that's probably the biggest difference between Finder and say Swoop. And then added to that, as you've already indicated, we don't then just send you off to the bank. We continue to manage the relationship until the loan is finalized or we find alternatives for you. So our goal is obviously to complete a loan that's to your satisfaction and obviously meets your criteria that you've put down in our system. And for those who aren't savvy with technology, we can also do that by phone.
Excellent. Thank you, Tim. So let's switch gears a bit here, Tim. And based on your experience and your current read of the market, Tim, are you able to provide a broader commentary on what is that we're going to witness in 2022 as a calendar year? What is that a small to medium business or a growing company is going to witness with respect to their cash flow gaps and with respect to having various access to various funding lines and funding instruments out there, which is going to service this market in the current markets?
Yeah, look, and this is obviously only from my experience and knowledge of the market and what I see and what I hear. So it's basically my opinion. But obviously now that COVID support has been stopped by the government and we still have a number of after effects of COVID, as many of the people on the podcast would know. You know, we've moved from a sort of a Delta strain to a Omicron strain. And so it's still going to be tough for small businesses out there. Some small businesses are obviously going to do really well because they're in that environment, supports that sort of change. But other small businesses that rely on traffic and people utilising their retail networks or their gyms or their cafes or their tools are still going to find it tough probably for the next 3 to 4 months until this current strain peaks, which basically, the prediction is within the next 6 weeks, we'll get to the peak of it and then it'll start dropping back and then people will return to the working environment with some confidence and potentially start to make decisions again about their future. But in that interim period, so we're talking potentially 2 to 3 months, the small businesses who are already doing it tough are going to have to find some working capital to at least see them through this next period of time. And I think, you know, this is potentially where TAT and Swoop make a great partnership to come together to help those small businesses work through that next period. But often what I say to people is don't wait till it gets bad. Get on top of it now and start that. Look for potential, whatever it is you might need to survive that next 3 months, whether it's improved cash flow, some invoice financing, some cash flow lending, whatever it is that you might need to see you through this next period of time.
That's an interesting point that you've just raised, Tim. There's obviously various technical or industry specific jargon that you've used to break down further aspects of working capital. You spoke about factoring, you spoke about supply chain financing in various terms, right? But what about an entrepreneur who may not be as savvy enough to understand differences between various working capital instruments out there? How is that kind of an entrepreneur who has done whatever he or she has done exceptionally well in terms of growing his or her own business during the better times of last few years, but now they are realizing that with various events, let it be the pandemic or let it be the government's account is about to be taken away. How is these kind of entrepreneurs are potentially going to be educated to look at various instruments that you just spoke about? And what is that you and your group of colleagues are potentially going to do for such kind of people?
Yeah, and again, you raise a great point. I think I've always said to people, do what you do, do what you understand, and do it well. And I think what Swoop does is it understands those different types of lending type products. And not all those products are required for small business. Each product has its own need. It can match, with the existing client needs at that point in time. So invoice financing, for example, is, you know, basically getting a forward cash flow on your invoices at a discounted rate. So you pay a little bit for it, and that can range from 0 to 10%. Well, I shouldn't say 0. You know, it's going to be somewhere between 3 to 10, depending on your revenues and depending on your growth over the last 12 to 18 months. So invoicing finance is one that most people are probably familiar with, but there are other things like trade finance and merchant cash advance, which again is based on your revenue through your EFTPOS machines. And there's also cash flow lending, you know, where you can increase the value, the existing loan that you might have for your business to just safeguard against this, as I said, this period that we're working through at the moment through COVID.
Excellent, excellent. So, Tim, on that note, what kind of sectors have you been observing in the last 1.5 year, which are potentially ripe in terms of accessing working capital tools out there? And do you see that sectoral mix potentially changing in the next year or two?
Yeah, so obviously the ones that I mentioned previously around gyms, cafes, retail, foot traffic mainly, have been the ones that have had to adjust their businesses. F45's a very good example of a business that was going extremely well prior to COVID. And they've now had to start virtual classes and maintain their membership base. And F45 has done a great job from a corporate level of supporting that change to help them continue cash flow during a very tough period. But in saying that, it doesn't mean that you still don't have needs. And some of that can be satisfied through, as I said, obtaining a loan for invoice financing or business loan for cash flow lending or for merchant cash advance. So all of those facilities or products are available to each small business. And as I said, really what we try to do at Swoop is tell you which product we think is best suited for your business at this point in time, which will then see you get through the next 3 to 6 months. But there's no doubt that as we come out of this environment that there will be opportunities to either consolidate or to build or grow your business. And we can also help you recognize what are the best products to put you in touch with that will help you do that as you start to come out of this environment.
Excellent. Tim, can you also guide our listeners on is there a different kinds of working capital products out there for services companies as opposed to product companies or manufacturing companies? There is generally a misnomer or a myth that generally floats around for companies which are asset light or companies which doesn't have a lot of collateral to use to borrow against. There is a misunderstanding that such kind of companies are not a good set of companies to access working capital lines. Can you potentially guide on what kind of tools are available for such kind of companies?
Yeah, sure. And I think I always put the proviso that security still plays a key component in determining rate. But if you've got strong revenue, and one of the great things about these new competitors entering the market is that security is probably not as important as it used to be. So you're finding a lot more banks now. Judo is a good example of that. And some of the other non-bank lenders. And when I use non-bank lenders, it just means that they don't have a banking license, but they get their fund through securitization markets, or bonds is probably a better term that people understand. So they raise capital through bonds, and that capital they then lend out to small businesses. And often those loans can be unsecured. And that unsecured portion, as I said, will cost you a little bit more than maybe a secured loan. But if you've got strong revenue and you need cash flow to help build your business or to maintain your business, then these sort of loans will help you get through these growth periods, which, as you know, in a small business can be up and down sometimes.
Got it. So in that instance, Tim, is there a specific approach you would take in advising these services companies on educating them on working capital loans? And if that is the case, what sort of areas you should be advising these companies should be focusing on and getting their company docs ready? Obviously, a lot of these small businesses who may not have traditionally accessed working capital products in the past may not have all the paperwork that needed to be in place to access these wonderful customized financial instruments out there. So what is your advice to such companies who are now potentially scrambling around, potentially putting various bits of paper to satisfy a lender's requirement, and how should they go about preparing their documentation?
Yeah, look, and I think what you need to do is, if you haven't completed your financials for the last financial year, which is obviously at this stage 21, so I'm talking June 21, you really need to have that in place, because what they're wanting to do is look at your current BAS. They want to look at your last year's financials, and they understand that in some cases that could be good or bad. So a lot of lending institutions at this point are sort of giving people the benefit of the doubt over COVID. So they want to look at what the business was doing prior and then what the business is doing now. And if they believe that the business you're in is a strong business, then generally you will get a loan. And we will help you work through the machinations of the different lenders and the different interest rates. As I said, security still plays an important part in getting a lower rate, and also helps, as I said, getting loans approved more quickly. But there are plenty of lenders out there that will lend on strong revenue and strong growth. So, and if you haven't had that, but you had it prior, then we can always put a case forward that the business was in, you know, a good shape prior to COVID, and you've survived the worst of it, and now looking for cash flow to start to rebuild the business back in post-COVID. And it might not be just post-COVID, it might be just post, you know, the property sector, because the property sector potentially might change over the next few months as well. And there's been plenty of discussion around that. And interest rates potentially could go up in the next period of time as inflationary pressures start to apply themselves into the different markets. And we've already seen, again, evidence of interest rates increasing in the US and the UK. But the best advice I can always give any business is get in early. Don't wait till it's too late or wait till it's too tight. Because I think the sooner you get those facilities in place or even an approval in place, you don't always have to take the approval up straight away, but the approval will only be generally good for 90 days. It's good to have that, as Ram has already indicated, get your documentation up to date now. Don't wait and get it in with us now. It costs you nothing to input your information into us, and we can give you the best guidance straight away.
So Tim, let's switch gears a bit here. We spoke a lot about potentially the small to medium businesses and potentially one or two people led entrepreneurs or mom and pop shops. Let's speak a little bit about those growing startup community that we are now witnessing in the neck of our woods. So let's speak about what about those startups who have now raised multiples of millions and now they are gearing up to build an expansion scale. They're basically working towards a scalable stories to satisfy a venture-led financing structure. What is your advice to those startups who are now well-funded and now potentially building wonderful companies to access working capital and potentially, again, push the need for raising further bigger rounds of capital sooner than later. What should they be doing, mainly for these younger startups?
Yeah, and again, I think building a relationship with someone like Swoop is a good way for us to help your business grow now and into the future. An area that you can look at, especially a business that's now up and running and starting to perform and starting to grow. There are a number of grants that are available in the market for small businesses that are growing and they need support either in technology builds or they need money to expand overseas. There are a number of grants that are available in the market that help small businesses that you're talking about that are now past that work, you know, that past that startup phase and now looking to expand quite quickly. And again, the platform that's been designed by Swoop accesses those grants and tells you which grants that you would qualify for. So again, grants is something that's generally overlooked by small businesses, and a lot of small businesses normally take up the technology one, but they don't understand some of the trade ones and some of the council and state grants that are available to small businesses that are varied across different industries.
Excellent. So for the listeners out here, this is one of the primary reasons why Tath Capital has decided to partner up with Swoop, primarily because of the technological advancements that Swoop as a platform provides to Tath Capital and its clients is one of the primary reasons why Tim and I decided to get down this path of partnering and providing best of the breed solutions to the market. So yeah, please reach out to us to get further information on any of these solutions. But Tim, again, I want to switch gears a bit here. Let's talk about those smaller listed companies. Obviously, smaller listed companies under $100 million style company typically tends to have their revenue anywhere between $2 million to $6, $7 million in terms of revenue. In some cases, potentially about $10 million revenue. And some of these companies listed on the ASX, again, could be an interesting set of companies that they are not too big for the large bank to notice them. But at the same time, they are not too small to be ignored by a financial institution. So can you talk about how should they go about building a war chest of working capital instruments to potentially optimize their cash flow cycles and potentially give a better reporting methodologies for their shareholders? Obviously, being a listed company, one of the prerequisites is to put out a quarterly report. And as both of us know very well, cash is always king for a listed company. So why don't you speak about how can you help or how can our partnership help these mid-market growing listed companies?
Yeah, sure. So one of the important things, which Ram's obviously already talked about, is the importance of having cash in the business and not necessarily always using the cash for day-to-day operational, where debt sometimes, and what we call smart debt, which is basically using the debt in the business to buy assets. Sometimes that might be leasing assets, depending on where you are, in what industry you're in, depending on, you know, from buying trucks or manufacturing components to gym equipment. All of those things can be funded through leasing, and that can free up cash flow, which then keeps you sort of in a point where you can use your cash for more important things. And from a shareholder's perspective, they want to see really good usage of income and expenses and what we call debt to income ratio. So I think the key for us here is that what I call good debt. Good debt is where you're maintaining your cash flows for other components of the business, more important components, which could be potentially for resourcing staff or building staff. And distribution, and for other components such as renegotiating debts in some cases, or buying assets through using leasing or equipment finance, is a smart way of operating a business. So There are a number of lenders out there now that are quite keen to lend to businesses for all of those abilities for growth. And I think you've just got to keep your options open and use the SWIP platform to look at those options within the market so that you can consider those instead of utilizing cash all the time.
Tim, this brings out an important question. For a good part of my career, I've been advising or I've learned from interacting with various boards of companies that you should always build a relationship with one single financial institution or two financial institutions to develop a deeper relationship so that you are in a position to borrow greater amounts of money when it is required. Obviously, now with the amount of products and flexibility of choosing various lenders out there, what is your view on this traditional philosophy that has been existing in the market for a long time? Once I'm with CBA, I'm with CBA for life. Once I'm with Westpac, I'm with Westpac for life. This kind of a philosophy to what is the possible way of having multiple institutions or multiple relationships to potentially still benefit by having most optimized lending strategy put in place?
Yeah, and I think having more than one lender as in a relationship is important because lenders' risks and appetites can change. And we've seen this in the past in the property market where all of a sudden they want to get out of a certain style of property. You know, it might be student accommodation as a good example, and they will reweight those assets and force you to potentially pay a higher interest rate. Where if you've got those sort of assets spread across two or three lenders, then less likely is that going to affect you if one lender decides to pull out of that market. So I think you have to be very careful aligning yourself to one lender simply because in my experience and my knowledge, and I've also experienced it personally because I've done a bit of development in my time, is that lenders' risks and appetites do change. And you need to be prepared to have more than one opportunity or one option if things change within the market. And you'll find with a lot of the new lenders that are now entering the market, they don't have the same restraints that APRA is putting on some of the major banks. So, you know, we've seen this on the residential side where investors, they weren't allowed to have more than 20% of their portfolio open to investors, but non-bank lenders aren't governed by APRA. So therefore they don't have those same restraints. So they can lend 100% of investor. So it's the same in small business. Small business, you will often find that APRA will put restraints on the banks around certain industries or their own risk and compliance departments will do that internally. Whereas non-bank lenders, again, don't have those same concerns. So I think having more than one lender relationship is really key. And again, at Swoop, what we do is, as I said, we're an aggregator. We don't favour one lender over another. Our goal is always to make sure that the client gets the best product and the best pricing and gets the best opportunity that meets their needs at that point in time. And your needs do change over time. So a small bank might be really good in the initial days of your growth, but as you get bigger, you might need larger corporate finance, and then some of the major banks will start to come into play, or international banks. So I think it's really important to have a spread of lenders, you know, one that does asset and leasing for you, one that potentially does cash flow lending for you, other ones that will give you overdraft facilities, and obviously then you've got people like Tac Capital that can help with foreign exchange and raising capital.
Tim, thank you. And another important question I was pondering when you were speaking with the property sector. So obviously, most of us are aware, typically the younger companies or growing companies tend to use, mainly the entrepreneurs tend to use their personal assets as collateral to borrow and fund the cash flows of the companies which they majority own or which they may be owning 100%. In the current scenario, there has been a lot of news that we both are reading that real estate sector is potentially up for either correction or potentially up for some sort of a stagnation in terms of the prices. If should that situation does materialize, What is that going to happen for each for these kind of entrepreneurs who have used their personal assets to use them as collateral to fund their businesses? How is their situation potentially going to be affected? And what is your advice to such people?
Yeah, so a number of the major banks and some of the regional banks have what they call reviews, 12-month reviews of the business, and they'll ask that business for financials. And if for any reason, let's say in the property market, we do see a reduction in the current pricing of property in the residential side, that could potentially affect your borrowing. So for example, they might come to you in a review in 12 months time and say, well, look, we want you to reduce your borrowings by 10% or 20%, whatever potentially is the reduction in your security value. And they could force you under your terms of your agreement to reduce your debt, which might be difficult at that time. It may not be too. So I think in those situations, you need to make sure that if you feel that in 12 months time, things are going to change, you can move to a lender who doesn't do 12-month reviews, but still use the same property. So there are a number of new lenders in the market that no longer do those 12-month reviews and don't put your property at risk. So again, you can talk to Swoop about who those lenders would be and whether they would be as competitive as your current offering. As you know, in the market currently, there are a lot of competitive offers, and it's always good to have a look at those, that what we call small print, where they potentially could get you to reduce your debt.
Got it.
If your property value was to drop, for example.
Got it. So, Tim, can we talk about generally what are the lock-in periods for these kind of instruments? Are there different kind of lock-in periods for various kinds of working capital tools out there? And if they are, what are they? And what should be a typical entrepreneur should be worried or to be careful about?
Yeah, I think there's in every lending instrument, there's what they call the covenants. And the covenants are going to be basically what the bank guides their dealings with you. So if they feel at any stage that you're in breach of any of those covenants, then potentially they can call up that loan, which could put you in all sorts of trouble, even though your business may not be into trouble. So I think that's a key component. If the bank's appetite, for whatever reason, changes, risk appetite, and they potentially want to get out of a certain industry or certain securities, then they can change under those covenants. They can change the requirements of the loan, which could make it difficult for you to continue with that industry, with that lender. Which could put you in a very stressful environment for a period of time. Good businesses will always survive and will always find lenders. I think the key is don't let yourself, as I said earlier on, get yourself into that situation where those covenants might come into existence. So get on top of those early. So look at your current documentation and look at what sort of requirements that you need to meet on your annual review and make sure that you feel confident that you can meet those. And if not, it's probably time to do a review of your lender and look at some of the competition and what they're offering now. Always better to do it in the good times while the market's still buoyant and people are wanting your business.
Excellent. Tim, thank you for your time today, and it was wonderful having a very open conversation and frank conversation with you on how you're seeing the working capital sector and the industry at large is currently going to play out for this year. If there is only one piece of advice that I can give to the listeners who is listening to this podcast today, is to basically get in touch with either office and have an open conversations as early as possible as you're building your 2022 financial roadmap. And let us be of help to you and utilize the wonderful tools that we have put in place. Educate yourself better, prepare your paperwork better, and be ready to face what is potentially going to be another year of greater uncertainty. So wishing you all a wonderful year of business in 2022, and wishing each and every one of you a very safe and healthy time with your friends and family. As we get through this uncertain period of Omicron as we see it. Tim, it's been wonderful to have you on this podcast with me, and look forward to working with you and your team in assisting the mid-market clients across Australia and New Zealand in the years to come through this partnership between Tath Capital and Swoop.
Thank you again for the opportunity, Ram.
Thank you once again.
Talk soon.